Everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Sure hope you're ready for 2 hours of nonstop race talk right here on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr. right here in the Racetime Radio studio. And we are set to go. Man, have we got a great lineup tonight. Junior, what's going on there, kid?
Hey, it was a good weekend.
Yeah.
Not if you were at Five Flag Speedway. You would have got wet.
Ah.
But tough deal for those guys down there. But it sounds like they got the ball rolling. And then, of course, today with the Cars Tour, kicking off that $30,000 to win race.
Ooh, big
rocking
bucks.
And rolling. Rolling in the big bucks.
Yeah, tough deal for the Cup guys. They're sitting getting a little bit damp themselves right now.
As we are airing this and recording this, if you're listening through the week,
yes,
of course,
yeah.
This is Sunday night. But definitely they got everything else in at Texas, but Mother Nature wanted to make us wait for the Cup race.
How about that truck race today? Wasn't that was kind of nice, seeing a truck race on a Sunday. Started off at noon. It was kind of nice seeing a truck race on Sunday.
It was.
I like it.
You know, it definitely cool. Of course, the Xfinity Series raced yesterday at Texas Motor Speedway, and the truck race was today, and as well, you know, paired up with the Cup race. But, man, I've said it before on this program. I've said it a million times. I'll say it a million more times until I'm blue in the face. Mile and a halfs are not my thing.
Yeah. But that was a good truck race today. Like,
it
there was a lot I'm, to it.
Hey, I mean, it was a good truck race. They put on a good show. They raced hard. There was side-by-side action. You know, there was controversy. There was everything that you want to see in a race.
Oh, yeah.
There was,
yeah.
You know, the fans who love seeing stuff get tore up, they seen that. There was controversy on the racetrack, controversy off the racetrack, and lots of stuff that took place. You know, really, that's not out of the norm with the trucks. Everywhere they go,
no.
They put on a show.
They do, everywhere.
I love the truck series. I love watching it. I think it's because it's shorter races. I think it's because there's inexperience out there. You know, even guys with experience really, you know, don't have the experience level that some of the Cup guys have. And then there's the crafty veterans mixed in with that.
Couldn't believe the move Johnny Sauter made. I know you and I do not see eye to eye on that, but I'll tell you what. Johnny Sauter, a true tested, time-tested, whatever you want to, like multi-winner, multi-champion. Johnny Sauter shouldn't have made that move the way he did it today, because it not only cost him his truck, but, man, it took Stu Friesen right out of that race.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it's...
And Stewie was doing really good. Maybe not the winner of
Johnny
the race,
doesn't
but...
care if Stewart's doing really
no,
good.
No, I know.
And really,
doesn't.
Any but competitor doesn't care what their competitor is doing.
He blew it for himself as
yeah.
well.
But
it was a dumb move.
They covered it a lot in the broadcast. It's the byproduct of today's racing. You know, you can't race tight side by side with these packages.
Mm.
Everything is skewed out and relying on the air in order to carry that much speed. So when you're by yourself and you don't have any dirty air around you, you can carry a lot more speed.
He wasn't by himself.
That's what I'm saying, though, is that when you are by yourself, when you have the air on the side of the truck, when you have the air on the nose, and when you have the air on the spoiler,
yeah.
You can race and you can carry a tremendous amount of speed.
Yeah.
And right now, with the aero package that the Truck Series has, even the Cup Series, and even the ARCA Series, along with the Xfinity Series,
yep.
If you want to make a pass, you mm-hmm. need to set it up a lap in advance.
Yep.
You need to get the run down the straightaway, and you need to throw it down into the corner, and you need to slide job him. That's something that we would never hear 10 years ago in NASCAR.
No, slide
but
job.
That's,
hold it
no,
right
no, no,
there.
No, no,
hold
no.
it. Hold it right there.
Yeah.
Slide job means that you intend to clear the guy and either
had
slide up in front of him,
yep.
But you can't even entertain the idea of a slide job when you haven't got, like,
yeah, it would be interesting.
At least a way to clear the guy.
My argument would be a heck of a lot easier to show if there was data and we could show the data on both sides.
Yeah.
But Stuart Friesen carried more speed down into that corner than he had all day watching it.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the intention, he's seen the run coming. And that's what you see these guys do. And they're playing chicken with the guy that's on the inside. And it's up to the guy on the inside to lift. Otherwise, what happens is we see what happened today. Now, you're down to 25 laps to go in the race or whatever the number
was. Yeah, it was pretty close.
25 laps to go.
Yep.
And Stuart, it's not – he is leading. He is the guy out front.
Yeah.
And it is his prerogative to hold your line. But in the same regard – it's, you know, the way that to make a pass is to do exactly what Johnny Sauter did, to throw it down into the corner harder than he had all day.
Right.
And slide up in front of him. Now, he's expecting the 52
to realize
that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And the 52.
He wasn't even close to having.
But the 52.
The pass.
The 52. In 95% of the times that has happened to the 52 in his career,
right,
he's lifted.
Yeah.
And on the other 4% where he didn't lift, he didn't wreck, he got loose, and you know, whether they got contact or whether it worked out for the guy trying to pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the 1% is what we've seen today, and that is a byproduct of what, you know, aerodynamics in mile and a half racing.
Mm.
You know, when you see a guy drive it off into the corner like that, the 52 in hindsight and in retrospect, which that doesn't do a lick of good in racing,
right?
Because your truck's already tore up, so retrospect means nothing.
You're already out.
But the 52. Had the opportunity to lift because he's seen the run coming, and that's why he threw it in there so hard. He had the opportunity to lift, cross over, because the 13 was not making the corner going as fast as he was.
Right.
And would have crossed over, and middle of the backstretch, the 52 would have had the lead again.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing that you know, when you look at how these guys are making passes, that's the reason why restarts are so crucial and they're so chaotic, is because you can make up the ground because there's guys getting loose, there's guys getting sideways, there's guys getting bumped, and you're trying to capitalize on every single stitch of inch on the racetrack. And I'm not defending Johnny Sauter at all. What I seen today was he drove over top of the 52 and wrecked him.
Yep.
It, that happens in big league auto racing, and it happens in four-cylinder racing at Flamborough Speedway or anywhere else.
Right.
It's guys drive into one another. Now, but I will say this about that. You know, it's a little bit easier to look at a short track and see a guy throw it down into the corner and take a guy out from the guy trying to chop him.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's a whole different ball game. But, I mean, when you look at... if you want to call a guy out for wrecking a guy, you got to call out Ben Rhodes for wrecking the 18 truck.
Whoa. Benny was coming off that turn. He was trying to gather his truck up.
That's what he says.
No, he was. He was. Watch the video.
Yeah, his truck was straight as an arrow, and he hooked it to the left and right reared the guy.
Yeah.
If you wreck a guy in the straightaway, if you wreck a guy in the corner, it's hard racing, and it's sure, everybody's feelings can be hurt.
Yep.
If you wreck a guy on a straightaway,
yeah,
that's your fault. And I don't care what the prognosis is, unless it was, hey, my lower control arm broke off the truck, or there was a massive mechanical failure, there wasn't, because he continued racing after he right reared him.
It was kind of like a turn, because it's a tri-oval at Texas. So
where they are, there's a 300 foot the little short chute off of turn four down to the down to the little corner in the middle of the straightaway, the little dog leg.
Yeah, yeah.
That straightaway is longer than the entire straightaway, both straightaways at Martinsville combined.
Yeah.
So it's a straightaway, and where he hit was in the
corner.
Ben
did not wreck him on purpose.
Oh my
God. Did not wreck him on purpose. I don't think. Anyway. Let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight. It's going to be a dynamite show. We are going to kick it all off here shortly with Josh Williams, driver of the number 92 for DGM. We haven't talked to Josh in, I don't know, it's been a couple of months since we had Josh on. And how about this? He keeps putting out top 10 finishes. Really good for Josh and really good for DGM. These guys are continuing to grow each and every week, or at least the results are coming. on one team or another, they're doing it, and they're getting a lot better, I would have to say. How about you?
Yeah, I think they're definitely doing a lot better, and they're clicking along. They've got good equipment, and you know, the way that the bodies are in the Xfinity Series, it's leveled the playing field in a big way. And, you know, it's showing on the racetrack. It's not just DGM. The smaller teams are doing better this year than they ever have, really, across the board. When you look at DGM and the size of their team, the size of the investment, if you will, over the super teams like Penske and JR Motorsports and those guys, there's a bunch of players in the Xfinity Series that are kind of in the same realm as DGM. And I would put Sieg, I would put Clemens, I would put really even Sam Hunt Racing. You know, you gotta take a look at a couple of the other smaller teams that have purchased cars from some of the big teams, have, you know, worked within the body rules and put together a competitive package to go racing. What you're seeing out of DGM is a combination of a great rules package that we're seeing in the Xfinity Series that actually levels parity for the first time in really the modern era of stock car racing. And you're also seeing a group of dedicated racers. We've said this, you know, numerous times in the past, but they've got a dedicated group of racers on that team.
And they're getting results.
That's cool. And they're doing a great job with it. DGM, you know, definitely deserves a lot more accolades than they get through the broadcast. You know, when you look at the job that Josh and really Alex and really whoever jumps into the third car that they have,
the 90, yeah.
They're doing a whale of a job right now and clicking off some great results. And it'll be interesting, you know, rolling into Martinsville. The Xfinity Series hasn't been there in a tremendous amount of time.
Right, right.
Really, since it's been the modern Busch Series, right?
Right.
it's been a very long time since that division has been in Martinsville. And, you know, it'll be really interesting to see how they can hang at Martinsville. And I think that it'll be a place where they got a good shot at getting a top five finish leaving that place.
Sure they do. We're also going to catch up. Our second guest of the night is going to be from Bushwell, Quebec. Donald Tige is going to join the show. We know Donald from driving in the NASCAR Pinty Series. He's got 44 starts in the NASCAR Pinty Series. Got a win in there. He's got, 31 top five finishes. 17 top five finishes, 31 top 10 finishes, and that was over 6 years. Also, Donald he's a famous ACT driver, right? He's out of the ACT series. Interestingly, Junior, he's got 46 starts in the ACT series, 44 starts in the Pinty series. Not going to be too much longer, and he's going to be tied for starts over the two. Now, with the ACT series, yeah. It was 11 years that he got all of those starts in.
Yep.
With the NASCAR Pinty Series, it's got 44 starts over 6 years.
Now,
half the time.
I will say this, we're going to have to ask him about this, but obviously the ACT series, you know, tally is there, but he's raced ACT style late models at home tracks in Quebec for a lot longer than that. So,
we'll find out.
The ACT stats, are the tour, like the actual sanctioning body themselves. But he has been racing a tremendous amount more than 46 starts in late models, you know, all throughout Quebec and even into Ontario and you know, everywhere else with those guys. So,
well, Donald is going to make his fifth Xfinity start at Martinsville in that number 90 car for DGM. We're going to talk to him about it tonight. If you haven't seen the release that we do up on a weekly basis, have a look at this week's. You can see it at racetimeradio.com. Have a look at the 90 car. Beautiful, beautiful looking scheme. Donald Tige up the side of it. And it's going to be interesting to catch up with Donald on a half mile. Like you say, guys, they're going to get excited to be on that half mile track.
Yeah, 100%. It really, to be honest with you, if I was going to a short track that took or was built on rooting and gouging, Donald Tige is a guy that I would want in my car.
Yes.
Donald Tige is arguably the most aggressive racer in the Pinty series that I've ever seen. That's not a bad thing. He is a guy that
He attacks the race.
He attacks the corner, attacks the position every single lap, and he will take every inch that he, you know, has available to him, and he'll try to manufacture even more than that, you know, out front. So I hope that he has the ability to bring that tenacity, you know, to the Xfinity series.
Mm.
And I hope that he attacks it. A lot of times what you see from Canadians going down south is they go down and they try to mind their P's and Q's.
Right.
Right. And you have to in the Xfinity series. You can't just go down there and be a bull in a china shop. Otherwise, you're going to get a bad name for yourself, and you're probably not going to get a whole lot of opportunity down there.
Right.
That being said, you know, when you look at Jacques Villeneuve on a road course,
yeah,
right?
Jacques wasn't really too concerned about...
He wasn't too concerned about anybody else. He was concerned about himself, and that was
results.
It. And results. And I think that this is an opportunity for Donald Teach to do that exact same thing.
Right.
At Martinsville. I think that, you know, it's a track that doesn't race like any other short track out there. But if you can, you know, fight for the bottom all day long, fight for positions all day long, and continue to move forward, I don't think that it's going to take the best car to win the race at Martinsville. And I think that it's a really cool opportunity for Donald, and I'm excited to talk to him about Martinsville. I don't know if he's ever raced there or not.
No, the other four starts that he has had in Xfinity were at Loudoun, Phoenix, Richmond, and Vegas.
Absolutely.
Those are the four
Know if he's raced a late model or anything else at Martinsville.
Oh,
I don't know if he's ever turned a lap there. But, you know, when you look at a track where Donald Teage is really good at,
yep.
St. Eustache.
Oh, yeah.
Flat
track.
I mean, flat, you have to hold the brakes under it. You have to hold the tires under it. And Donald Teage is really good there.
Well, he's
turned a tremendous amount of laps
He was really, really good, too. I'm going back quite a few years now. But Speed Weeks, when the ACT Tour came into Speed Weeks, Tom Curley brought them in. Donald Teage, well, that was the first time I met him. And I watched him in the 80 car. He was really, really good those couple of nights that series ran at New Smyrna Speedway. So half-mile track, high bank. I wouldn't doubt he's going to be really good when we get to Martinsville with the Xfinity
series.
I
will say that New Smyrna is basically Daytona compared to Martinsville.
Well, yeah. Well, it's a lot tighter.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying it's a half mile.
Yeah.
We'll also hear tonight from Junior Farley. We know Junior in a pro late model, APC, in that style of car here in Ontario. He sold all that gear. He's going to go super modified racing. And I'll tell you what, Junior Farley is over the moon. Can't wait to get started. He's got the car. He's got some stuff put together. We're going to catch up with Junior tonight on this show. And in hour number two, we're also going to hear from Raphael Lazard. He drives for KBM in that Gander Truck Series. Come away with a fourth place finish today at Texas. We're going to catch up with Raphael. So those are the guests we got lined up. We also got lots of news that we got to cover off throughout the course of the night. We've got time. We'll hear from Harrison Burton that won the Xfinity race yesterday. And we'll hear from Sheldon Creed that won the truck race today. If we've got time to fit it all in, we are going to hit this first break. When we come back, we're going to kick it all off with the number 92, Josh Williams, coming off a top 10 finish this weekend at Texas for DGM. He's going to join us live on the other side of the break. Stay there. We're just getting the engines fired up.
This is Randy Hooker, owner of the Country View Golf Course, number 38 Chevrolet, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is fired up by QuickWick Fire Starters. Available online at QuickWick.com. That's QuickWick, QWICKWICK.com. Use promo code RTR on your next purchase and save.
RevTV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. Rev TV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. Quick fire starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. Quick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian. And so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com. Enter promo code RTR and save up to 20%. And they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win.
Wow. It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 167. So glad you could tune in. And you're going to be real happy you tuned in. If you're a NASCAR Xfinity fan, you'll know that DGM has been lighting the lamp. And I'll tell you what, the driver of the number 92, Josh Williams, has been keeping it up. Man, he bought lunch last week, and he's going to have to do it again by the look of it. Here in the shop, he was the highest finisher for DGM this weekend, comes away with another top 10 finish. As mentioned, he drives the 92. It was his 92nd start as well. Let's welcome him to the show. Easy for me to say. Josh, what's going on? How you doing, bud?
Oh, pretty good, man. Thank you guys for having me on again. Every time it seems to be coming a trend here, so I'm a big fan.
Well, there you go. That's the way to have it. You keep getting results. We're going to keep having you guys back on. Man, it was a good weekend for you at Texas.
Yeah, it was a really good weekend. You know, we had a good solid car all day and, you know, just made some minor adjustments and stayed out of trouble. But, you know, track position was really key. It was so hard to pass that we tried to do a little bit of different strategy and end up working out pretty good. And, you know, hopefully we can keep this momentum going here these last few races and stack up a couple more top tens.
Well, I don't know what you guys did to Mario. I know it was his birthday last week, but you guys had to have done something to him because he's really prepping you guys some cars. Either that or he's done something to you guys to, I don't know, reach in there with a stick and poke you after the window net goes up because you guys are all turning results.
Yeah, man, them guys work their tail off down there in Florida, man. They do a heck of a job, and they put good cars together for us. And, you know, it makes our job a little bit easier for sure. But, just, you know, working hard during the race with my crew chief, you know, Ryan London, we, you know, we've been working good together here lately and really clicking. So, you know, making those quick adjustments at the beginning of the race to put yourself in position to be where you need to be at the end is really key.
That track, Texas Speedway, man, it's so fast. You can see it on television, and I can't say that about every race that we watch on TV. Some of them, it doesn't look like you're going as fast as you are. But Texas, you guys are moving, and it actually looks like you are as well. What's it like inside the race car? It's got to be crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, it's a, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, stuff gets pretty wild, but it's kind of like playing roulette, like I say.
It would feel
it's
like
expensive roulette. There's a heck of a lot cheaper game tables in Vegas. I'm just saying.
For sure.
Josh, looking at the overall way that the race played out, on Saturday night, it seemed like through the middle portion of that race, the race pace itself was incredible, and just kind of being able to maintain your track position, and if not play the tire game a little bit on the strategy, but through the middle portion of that race, it seemed like it would have been pretty grueling behind the wheel just simply because of the pace. Was it like that? Were you guys anticipating that? Because it seems like Texas is a place really on the mile and a half side that gets broke up a lot, but it didn't seem to do that through the middle portion.
Yeah, the track was really cool. The temperatures were low, and they put PJ1 at the top side of both corners, like one and a half lanes off the bottom. And everybody was kind of skeptical of it at the beginning of the race. And then, probably halfway through, everybody started running it in pretty good. And, that ended up being the preferred groove there at the end of the race. So, that picked it up pretty good. But, usually Texas, you're right on the bottom, but we all migrated up into the PJ1 once it got some heat in it. It was almost half a second quicker. So, you didn't have a choice really but to be there, and it was hard to make passes because you couldn't move up in the PJ1 because it wasn't hot enough and it was dirty, and you really couldn't run the bottom to get by anybody because that guy running the top lane had a lot more momentum than you. So, strategy was big, and I think we played it right and worked out in our favor.
Absolutely. Dynamite job. When I look at it, Josh, what do you attribute? You guys are running more consistent. You are in the 92. Alex is in the 36. When you look over last year's stats compared to this year, you can see a noticeable difference. What do you attribute that success to? Is it you guys gelling better as a team on the 92? Or is it preparation? What is it? Because it's cool to watch you guys progressively get better.
Yeah, I think it's multiple things. I'm getting better myself with these racetracks and how they're going to play out and the people I'm racing against. And, Mario's given us better equipment. He's given us better things that we need to do to run up front. And, our team works really good together. Every one of us on the team has either been in racing their whole life or has drove a race car or something like that. So we're, everybody's got the determination to run up front and to make these things happen. So I don't think there's one thing more than the other that I could pinpoint on. I think we're really focusing on all aspects and making the best of our situation. And, I'm really looking forward to these last few races.
Josh, obviously we're talking on track right now, but everybody knows, all you NASCAR guys, you have a very busy lifestyle away from the racetrack. Scrolling through your Instagram and your Twitter and your social media, earlier on this month, you got a chance to go to Sunrise Hospital. Tell us a little bit about that and your experience over there.
Yeah, what we've been doing is, due to the pandemic here, we haven't been able to personally visit some hospitals. So we've been doing some virtual Zoom calls and things like that and still trying to keep that going and continue on our JW hospital tour just to, let the kids know that we're still thinking about them and do the best we can, as far as seeing these kids through Zoom calls or, whatever it may be, and letting them do the handprint activity so we can keep our yearly tradition of running our handprint car and our hospital tour car at the last race of the season.
You guys do a dynamite job, man, in the car and out of the car. We're with Josh Williams, driver of the number 92 for DGM in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Getting set now, Texas in the rearview mirror for you. Now you're getting set for Martinsville. Half mile, paperclip, What do you think heading into this one? This is going to fit you like a glove.
Yeah, have you ever raced there before to kick off that question? I don't recall seeing Josh Williams in any vehicle there.
Me and my dad borrowed a truck from Brian Silas in like 2014.
Okay.
And we said, let's go to Martinsville. That was a bad idea, but we did it anyway. And we made the race. I don't know how many trucks were there, but they sent like five or six of them home, and we ended up making the race. And we had an issue like partway through or whatever we had to pull off. But I think I only made like a quarter of the laps or something like that before we had our issue. But it's a pretty cool place, man. I'm looking forward to it. I think as long as you can stay out of the hero's trouble, I think we'll be just fine.
Will this be an equalizer-type race, Josh, do you think? We talk about the super teams all the time. We see Harrison Burton goes to Victory Lane this weekend for his third win. And, all the big super teams are out there. Is this kind of like a Talladega or a Daytona where it's an equalizer-type race when you get on a half mile?
I would say it narrows it down a little bit. The high horsepower teams are still going to show. You know, I mean, it's basically two drag strips, and you got to stop and turn around and do it again. So, DGM is bringing a different motor package than we've ever ran here to Martinsville. So we're going to see how that works out for us, and, hopefully we went the right direction. But, it definitely narrows it up a little bit. I think a lot of these guys, they get on track like Martinsville, and they kind of overstep their boundaries a little bit. So we'll capitalize on their mistakes and try to maybe creep inside the top five.
Hey. There you go. So track position is going to mean everything, right? So you're going to want to try and get that track position. Strategy will play key. Two tires versus four, or I wonder how that's going to work out. We don't know what the Xfinity cars are going to do there. I wonder if two tires are going to be an option where you can grab two instead of four and pick up spots.
Yeah, we've talked about it a little bit. Depending on, this is a new tire that we haven't ran on before, going into Martinsville, and the low temperatures, I think it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be difficult to pass. So we talked about it, me and my crew chief, we think that, maybe we're going to kind of play it backwards, kind of like a road course, and maybe take everything early and then stay out as long as we can to keep that track position towards the end of the race. I don't think you can bolt on a set of stickers and just come through the field. I don't see that happening. So I don't know. I might be wrong depending on what tire they bring us, from Goodyear. But we'll see how it goes. And once you make your strategy, you're kind of committed to it. So hopefully it works out.
Mario's got a whole fleet of welders, bud.
That's right.
Yeah, bumper bars are cheap. Just go get that top five and get after it. I'm pumped to see the Xfinity Series on Martinsville. It's been a thing that everybody has talked about, right? It's one of those things that, we didn't think that it would happen, and that it's like the truck series going to Eldora. I didn't think that in my lifetime I would see, a top three NASCARs. A top three NASCAR series at a dirt track, and here we are numerous years into it, and it's growing up, I always wondered why didn't they go there?
Yeah.
Why didn't Xfinity, or why didn't the Nationwide series, why didn't the Busch series spend a whole lot of time at Martinsville, because it's always been, you can't call it not a fan favorite. It's a fan favorite track, right?
Yeah.
It's got so much history to it. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys can do, and those bodies are resilient. So you guys know it. You guys know it, and that's going to put on a heck of a show.
Oh yeah, for sure. We're definitely not afraid to use the front bumper at all.
Now right. You haven't got one of those grandfather clocks, right? You need one of those, Josh.
Yeah, I'll take one. Yeah, I'm not going to complain about it.
That's right.
Now, what's the car going to look like this weekend? Are you going to be spooky, too, or what's the 92 going to look like?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, we got the spooky scheme coming out here. You should see it. I don't know if they're going to do it at the beginning of the week or the end of the week, but But you'll see it come out here soon. It's a sweet looking ride for sure.
Well, what you should do is DM it to us, and then you know we'll show everybody for you. It's all right.
Yeah,
you can do that right now.
He doesn't want to scare you. That's
I know
what it is.
He's got one in his phone right now. Yeah. I know for a fact he does. But we're just kidding. We're looking forward to seeing it, and I love the spooky theme. I mean, Darlington has had the throwback for forever. You're seeing now more teams do it. You know, you look at the Snowball Derby, and there's always the snowflakes and the Christmas-themed cars.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for a long period of time there, we've seen a lot of pink for the breast cancer awareness. But really, the spooky theme for Martinsville, you know, you're seeing lots of teams do it, and it's cool. Have fun with it, right? That's the name of the game.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a cool deal, man, and I hope they continue to do it. You know, here at Martinsville on Halloween, it's a pretty neat deal.
Well, trick or treat, we'll have to find out which one it's going to be. And how many dogs? We can ask you that because you haven't been there. Are you looking forward to stuffing some hot dogs down?
Yeah. We're definitely going to get a couple for sure. We went through that whole experience back in the day there when we ran that trick race. It was pretty neat, but we're definitely that's part of the program, man. If you go to Martinsville, you got to get a hot dog.
Yeah, left side weight, my friend. Left side weight. You have a good one down there, Josh. Exciting watching you. Congratulations on another top 10 finish. And looking forward to see what you guys can crank out from here on out. You only got a couple left, so good luck to you the rest of the way. And I know we look forward to catching up with you later on in the off season. Whatever, we'll check in with you and see how you're making out.
Yeah, thank you guys so much, and hopefully we can talk again after Martinsville about that top five.
Ooh, that'd be cool. We'll save your spot.
We could talk even with a top 10, man.
Sure,
like a top
sure.
10, and then you know you'll be at the later portion of the show for a top 10, but we'll kick it off with a top 5.
There you go. I like your style.
There you go. You have a good one, Josh. Thanks so much for the time, buddy.
All right. Thank you guys so much. I do appreciate it.
The 92, Josh Williams. Always great to catch up with him. He keeps on doing that, Junior. We're going to make him an honorary Canadian.
Your food is not supposed to be fluorescent red. When you look at the Martinsville hot dog,
Hey, I had one, actually, at Daytona, believe it or not.
You can't have a Martinsville hot dog at Daytona.
No, I did. And I'll tell you the reason. And it even had the Martinsville sticker on it.
Yeah.
In the media center, one day, there's different menus every day.
They bring them
out. And the one day, they brought in Martinsville hot dogs.
Yep.
And I went, look at this. This is cool. Sue and I had a Martinsville hot dog. And I said, well, I haven't made it to Martinsville, but at least now I can say I can say I had a Martinsville hot dog.
One of the coolest sponsorship pitches that I ever did down there. You know, it was the year that they announced that it was going to be Smithfield dogs, right?
Yeah.
They were going to make, you know, red Smithfield dogs, which they sold anyways. It was going to switch from the Jesse James dog to the Smithfield. And it was a massive uproar, and I of course, being a guy that loves to, you know, walk against the grain.
Oh, stir the pot.
I called Jesse James, you know, marketing team, and I was like, listen, we got a cup car that's going to be racing there. What we should do is we should wrap your brand all over it. And like, we're talking like it was that week, right? So it wasn't going to be a massive deal. And we went back and forth, and they found out that my driver was vegan. And the guy was like, what are you trying to pull over here?
Yeah, he wouldn't even eat a hot dog.
I said, yeah, but we got a lot of fat guys on the team, man. Yeah. we love those hot dogs.
Incredible.
We had a lot of fun, though. That was the guy became a pretty good friend down there, we had a lot of fun. But Martinsville hot dogs, there's a good story behind every one of them.
Yeah, you want to believe
There's a good and bad story, I guess.
We are going to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to grab Donald Tiche from Bourgeois, Quebec. I do believe I pronounced it right. I was corrected. I believe it's Bourgeois. But we're going to find
from Quebec.
Out. Yes, Quebec. Okay. We will be back.
Hi, this is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels. the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work, no paper or kindling, and presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20% and they ship to your door. Quick Wick. They work.
From two wheels to four and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen.
And I'm Mike Babchak.
We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio. So I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me, I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady. Me, anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You, talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me,
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM 82, and the SiriusXM app.
Time Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Race Time Radio.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio, live tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167, Canada Talks. So glad you could tune in tonight. We are going to continue our conversation now and bring in our next guest. He is from Quebec. We will get the exact town.
You were going to say the town again, weren't you?
I was going to say Bourgeois, Quebec, but I'm going to find out for sure. He will be in an Xfinity car come Martinsville, his fifth attempt at a Xfinity car. For DGM, let's welcome in Mr. Donald Teesh. How you doing, Donald? What's happening tonight?
Hey, how are you, Joe? First of all, I would like to... have a big congratulations to Alex Labbé and Raphaël Lessard for that weekend they got. You know, they're from Quebec City, and they had a fantastic weekend, you know, especially Raphaël. They finished in the top five in the trucks series this afternoon. So, you know, they are friends. They are competitor against me. We race against them at the local track here, so... That's they did a great job for the weekend.
Oh, you want to believe it. We always keep our eyes firmly planted on both those dudes. And as a matter of fact, we got Raphaël Lessard coming up in hour number two tonight to talk about that fourth-place finish. You know what he's done, Donald? Those guys have set the bar pretty high for you now. When you hit Martinsville, you're going to have to keep the pace.
You know, that's going to be a huge, huge, huge challenge, I would say, you know, without practice and... I've never been there to watch a cup race, so it's going to be a huge challenge for me. We're going to run the third car of Mario Gosselin, and I think we're going to have a good car to try to finish on the top 22. You know, that's the focus that we're going to plan. But it's not going to be easy, you know, because those kids are on their series right now, and they want a championship, so they want to be qualify for the next race at Phoenix. So I don't want, you know, to mess nothing about that. So I have to keep my place and keep the fender on the good place and try to finish the race in top 20 or top 22.
Well, if anybody can do it, Donald Tease, you are the man that I'd want sitting in my race car, especially on a half mile, with the experience you bring to the table. I don't think there'll be one guy out there that won't want to race with you, other than you're going to go out and you're going to be you're going to be flying out there. It's going to be one of those tracks. Now, when I look at the other four starts that you have had in Xfinity, you took a green flag. You raced the race at Loudon. You did it again at Phoenix, Richmond, and Vegas. All fast tracks. The half mile, though, probably fits you a little bit better, wouldn't it?
Oh, of course, you know, but we had a mechanic issue at Loudon and the first race that we did in Xfinity. And, you know, I love Loudon to race up there fast track. But I think I agree with what you said. Martinsville is going to be a track for us. A lot of braking, like we used to do since the last 35 years, and a good acceleration on the exit. So, you know, I can't wait to be there. And we're gonna start the first stage very easily. Try to stay on the lap and with those front leader car. But if we get a lap down, it's not, you know, we're gonna come back for the second and third stage. I just want to be, you know, very patient with the car, like Rafael and Alex did on the weekend. They wait and they were very patient. So I think if we very patient at Martinsville, with the way that the championships is going on right now, I think we're going to see a lot of bing and bang. So maybe it's going to pay for us. So if we start near on the field and be patient, I think we can be maybe surprised with the results.
Donald, obviously you've been to a tremendous amount of really unique racetracks through your career. You've turned a ton of laps. Having no practice, you know, is not something that that happens all the time, right? It's I imagine you've been to a couple of races events where maybe practice and qualifying got rained out, and you had to go right to the race. But really, it's not a normal thing by any stretch. Do you get a chance to jump into any type of simulators or jump into iRacing a little bit and get a feel for it? I know Martinsville is an easy track to remember, and if you've seen it once, you just got to go real fast down a straightaway and you got to turn real tight in the corners. But do you get a chance to mess around with any of the simulators that are available out there?
You know, we're going to start that tomorrow night for the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night.
Okay.
I got a simulator right now that I rent from one of my best friends. So we're going to practice up there. So it's going to be my first time without practice, and I have a 250 laps. So like I told you, we have to be patient. But I think it's going to pay off if we had a good word this week with the simulator and, you know, try to have a the setup that we can find to be, you know, very fast, maybe at the end. But, you know, we will see what happens. Like I told you, I expect to have a lot of bump and pass up there and a lot of wrecks. So we got to be patient, and probably that everything is going to pay at the end if we stay on the track until the last 50 laps.
Talk to us a little bit about the relationship that you have with Mario Gosselin. Obviously, you know, a storied career in all forms of Quebec racing for yourself, and same goes for Mario, really in racing all across Canada and in the United States as well. But talk to us a little bit about the relationship that you have with Mario. I always get a kick out of hearing the drivers that drive for him and the relationships that they have with Mario.
You know, before the COVID, we were supposed to run between 5 and 6, maybe 7 races with Mario. He asked me, you know, to drive the third car with 4 other guys. So I say I was very interested about that, and I chose my track. I was choosing Loudon, Richmond, Martinsville, and Phoenix, and I don't remember the other ones. But we were supposed, you know, to have 6 or 7 races together. But what happened with the COVID, so everything went away because I got to stay at my dealership with my brother. You know, we have 4 car dealership, so I can go in the United States and stay at home for 14 days and then be back on the track. So we decided, you know, to break up. And he asked me for Richmond on September, but I was racing with Pinty's at Jukasa. So when I was come back from Jukasa, I called Mario and asked him if I can do a Martinsville and Phoenix. But, you know, Mario is a good guy, the Quebec guy, and it's easy for us to have a ride up there because we know each other and we compete against each other. He's a good guy, and when he called me in the beginning of the season with a third car, I was very interested, you know, to do a lot of race with him, especially this year, because probably it's going to be, you know, my fifth and sixth race on Xfinity, but it's probably going to be the last one, too. But, you know, I can't wait to be at Martinsville and Phoenix.
We are with Donald Teesch tonight. He will drive the number 90 for DGM this coming weekend at Martinsville Speedway in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. It's going to be a dynamite race. What a difference. It's got to feel wild, Donald. You've done it now four times, going to do it now the fifth time. But going from a NASCAR Pinty's car that you are used to and jumping into an Xfinity car, describe the difference between the two. Is it just like jumping from, I don't know, I don't know. What are the differences between the two cars? It's got to be totally different.
But first of all, you know, the horsepower is very different. We got almost 800 with the Xfinity and 550 with the Pinty's car. So, you know, the power is very different. Shock of difference. Brakes are very huge difference. So, you know, that's a fast car in Xfinity, but it's a little bit heavier than a Pinty's car. But, you know, I can't wait to be on Martinsville because, you know, those straights on the house spot, and I want to feel, you know, the first or two laps, the feeling with the cement on the boat corner. That maybe make a huge difference with the Pinty cars and the Xfinity cars. I think we're going to have more traction with an Xfinity cars than the Pinty's if we use the Pinty's at Martinsville, because I think tires are better than Pinty's cars. And the suspension is better. We've got better shock and everything. Huge, huge difference with shock. So, you know, those Xfinity car, I think they're more easier to drive on a short track and on a wide track instead of Pinty's cars.
And those brakes too. Those brakes are so cool.
Huge difference with the brakes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gonna feel like you stop in the center, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Donald, looking at the season, we've got to reflect back. If we've got you on the phone here, the season that was in the NASCAR Pinty Series, everybody pulled together and made it what it was, and it was a special year for all of the competitors, but extra special for you because it was a team change. You got a chance to work with Whitey and White Motorsports, WMI. How did that whole deal work out? And obviously, we've seen it on the racetrack. You seem to be very competitive week in and week out. You know, kind of walk us through the season that was in the NASCAR Pinty Series for you and the number 80 team.
I was very amazing when Whitey called me last year in November to drive his car. You know, that guy won a championship with Andrew Rander. So that was my first question when I asked him why he didn't pick up Andrew. And he said that he don't want to miss with DJ because Andrew was driving for DJ. So I was, you know, I was very happy when he asked me to drive his car. And he told me that he started a brand new team. And I told him too that I got a good crew with me to bring to his team. So we started season, you know, with only three races. And we test all the track that we went before, and all the tests we did, the car was great. You know, the car was fast every time we went on the track, the first lap to the end. We proved that we were fast too when we had to the race for, you know, for the practice time. We did the first time at the first race. I don't remember
Sunset.
The place, but
Sunset.
Sunset. And we did the second time at, Flamborough and Jukasa. So the car was very fast, and we got problem mechanics with the rear end at Flamborough. The car was quick the second race. Probably at Sunset was my mistake when the 28 hit me when I was passing him on the first lap. I should be maybe more patient. The car was fantastic that day. The car was great. The car was fast. So I should wait a bit. You know, I take the blame on that. And Jukasa, you know, the first race we did, I think with 45 laps, the car was, we were running on the pole, and the rear right tire went out. We don't know why, and we changed everything on the car because we thought that was a setup issue, and we went back from the rear from the second race and finished second. So we did a good result at Jukasa. I would say probably without the tire, we should be on a podium, won the first race, and we finished second in the second race. You know, I haven't discussed with Whitey right now, but we were very happy with that, what we did all together, the team, him and his team, and, you know, everything was great. So we're going to discuss about that for next year. He asked me to do all the season, but, you know, I don't like to run with those fast cars on a road racing guy like Tagliani, Dumoulin, and all those guys. They're so fast. The proof that, you know, since the last 2 or 3, 5 years, every time the chances, the driver who won the championship is a good driver on road race, except this year that we have only oval race and how do we won it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's huge difference, you know, on the Penske's series on road racing. But if I would be back, probably I would do all the oval first. And I don't know about the road racing. Maybe doing Three River because it's an hour from my house, and it's good for the sponsorship for us. But we'll see. You know, I haven't discussed with Whitey yet, but we'll be... would take a good decision before the Christmas time about that.
Well, I can just imagine what kind of results you're going to be able to twist out on a full season. That will be kind of cool for not only you, but for race fans to be able to watch. Interestingly enough, Donald, when I was going through your stats today, I couldn't help but notice 44 starts in the Pindy series and 46 starts in the ACT series. I thought, wow, these two are really, really close. Two more Pindy starts, and you're going to be tied. We won't know what you're known for more, the Pindy series or the ACT series. That's pretty cool.
Yep, you know, I prefer to race on the Pindy series. It's more professional, the TV and all the stuff. And, you know, the way we have races, a long race, 200 or 300 laps, I prefer to run, you know, instead of 100 and 150. So I want to continue on the Penske's cars. We're going to probably try to sell our LMS cars sooner. I'm not sure to be back on with LMS cars this, next year. So I will try maybe to focus on Penske's cars for the next season. And, you know, I'm 54 years old, so it's almost done for me.
Hey, 54.
I want to do something else with my family, so probably it's almost the end very soon for us.
54 is the new 18, my friend.
Yeah, you're still a young man. Donald, thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. Hey, good luck at Martinsville. I know we're all going to be watching you, my friend. It's going to be dynamite.
Thank you very much, guys.
You betcha. That is Donald Teige. Watch for him in the 90 for DGM. He's going to be at Martinsville. I got a sneaky suspicion, Junior. He is going to turn some really good numbers. Alex Labbe also going to be in that race. Everybody. It's going to be a dynamite race, like you say. That's one that I can see you and I getting together and cranking that one on TV.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be really interesting. I should have asked him, how do you say hot dog in French?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We didn't. Is it chaud chien?
We will find out. We will find out.
All you French guys listening, you tell me.
Yeah, Raphael's coming up. We'll ask him. We got to throw it back to Toronto for news and highlights. We will be back for hour two. Junior Farley coming up on the other side of this break. Stay with us live tonight on Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Race Time Radio. With the two Joes here on Race Time Radio on Sirius XM 167, where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins. Man, I can't believe how fast an hour goes here on Race Time Radio, Sirius XM channel 167. So glad you could tune in tonight. And we want to welcome all of our listeners also on the PerformanceMotorsportNetwork.com that tune into Race Time throughout the course of the week, a bunch of times, 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish. Hello to everybody out there, as well as Gearhead Country Radio. And if you missed the show, you want to go back and get it again, you can get it on demand on racetimeradio.com, or you can always drop into iTunes. Just search Racetime Radio, and presto, it'll be right there. Hit like, hit subscribe, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. Or you can always tune in Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on Sirius XM like you're doing tonight, and you'll never miss the show live as well there. But let's get back to the hotline, shall we, and welcome in our next guest. Now, this next guest is synonymous with late model racing, pro late model racing. I remember his very first lap in a late model, actually, at Sauble Speedway. Let's welcome in driver of the 72, it is Junior Farley, but he sold all that stuff. He's going to do a number change and a division change. Let's welcome him in. Junior, what's going on? How you doing?
Not too much, Joe. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Hey, bud. I was really, really shocked, I got to say here, what, about a month ago? I seen all your gear up for sale. I was going, hey, where the hell is Junior going? I love watching you in a late model car. I thought, man, he can't be getting out of the sport. That doesn't sound right. And then lo and behold, I see you're going to go super modified racing. And I went, ah, there we go. Now it's making sense. It's going to be a big change for you, bud.
No, for sure. Just to let everybody know, I do still have my stuff for sale. So everything is up for sale, but we still have it here in the shop. And then we just decided to do something different. And Oswego's always been very appealing to us. And I went down there for all our family vacations as a kid and just kind of grew up down there on our holidays and stuff. So it was always a dream of mine to run there, and there was a deal that came up, so I was able to capitalize on it.
Oh, you got to love it when a plan comes together, especially a lifelong dream, right? You racers always want to go faster, and the harsh reality is, and it's not a bad thing. That when you look at the short track, some guys will seed themselves into, I don't know, thunder car racing or, you know, like a super stock, and they just love it and they stay there the rest of their career. Or guys will go into a late model and that'll, you know, they advance up to a late model and they get into it, they love it, they get some success and they stay there and they retire out of it eventually. And then there's guys like you, Junior, that have stepped on all those stones, and now you're going to make a great big step because there is nothing on this planet that has more horsepower than a super modified, and they're incredible to watch. They've got tons of tire, tons of brake, tons of horsepower, and they're tons of fun.
No, I absolutely can't wait for the opportunity. It's something I never thought would come true, really, to be honest with you, and then just kind of found this deal that was out of Oswego. It was actually the car was actually put up in a raffle from Tyler Thompson, who won the Classic last year. It's not the same car, but it was his backup car. And then just with COVID and the way everything kind of aligned, we actually were able to purchase the car off the guy that won it in the raffle in early April. But getting it across the border and getting a motor and everything else took some time, so I didn't really want to announce anything until I had it home and made sure it was going to be a done deal.
Junior super modified racing. It seems like it super modified racing has always had a core group of fans, right? I mean, when you look at what super modifieds are, I mean, every gearhead on the face of the planet, when they see a super modified, when they hear a super modified, or when they watch them race, they love them. But the core group of super modified super fans, if you will, have had that affinity that you talked about, that they fell in love with them, and that's what they live for. And I think that, you know, there's the mecca is obviously Schwego and what they have going down there. But talk a little bit about the actual car itself, because it's, you know, we've all seen them run at Delaware or at Jukasa, or, you know, even at Sunset Speedway. They've been there in the past with ISMA. But talk to us a little bit about the car and what you're learning so far about it, being so green getting into it.
No, for sure. I definitely don't have a lot of experience wrenching or never drove one, so everything is new. Just right now we're just taking it all apart, piece by piece, and just trying to analyze and learn everything that we can about it. In short, they're, you know, half the weight, twice the horsepower, so you got twice the amount of tire. So it's going to be a big learning curve. It's not something we're going to go down and be competitive right off the bat. I'm kind of looking at it like an apprenticeship, something that we're going to have to work towards achieving to, but something that we're going to be committed with, maybe a 4 or 5 year plan, and hopefully we'll be, you know, contending on a weekly basis if everything aligns right at that point in time.
We're with Junior Farley tonight. He's getting set to go super modified racing at Oswego. It's a lifelong dream, and he's going to get the car and get things dialed in. Junior, are you going to align yourself with someone that has the experience? We've often seen teams do that. When they step in and they've got someone in their corner that's going to mentor them and you know, basically show them the ropes. Do you got anybody lined up like that you're going to be going down there with?
We're kind of working on trying to put something like that together. So obviously Jason Simmons, he owned the car previously, and he's got some guys. I'm going to reach out to them this week and then try to find support. Obviously, being a long haul, close to 5-hour haul down there, it's even tougher to get crew support. So, and we're going to need people with experience. So, that's stuff we're still working on, but we do have some contacts we're talking to.
Yeah, it'll all come together in time, right? You still have time. That's the cool part about it. It's only October right now. You got until what is the first race that you've got sort of in your mind saying, okay, we're going to be ready, and here we go?
So our plan, as long as the borders are all open, they're starting at the beginning of May. They're going to run an open practice, I think, very first week of May, and then 2 regular shows, and then they're taking a week off. And this year they're actually running two classics. So it's typically run on Labor Day. That's the Oswego Classic, a 200-lap race. So they're doing the one that got canceled this year on their May-long weekend, and then they'll be doing their other one in September. So might be biting off more than we could chew to run that one right off the hop, but I'd like to be prepared for those 2 first weekly shows and then see how we do and go from there.
Hey, if anybody can do it, kiddo, I got a lot of faith in you. You're going to do really, really good in that car. I got a sneaky suspicion that this is going to fit you like a glove. When we look at Oswego is going to be the track, are you going to register? Do you register to the track, or do you register to the sanctioning body and do a little bit of a tour as well?
No, you register through the track. There is an ISMA show, like the International Super Modified Association, like Mark Sammet and Mike Lichty and all them run from up in Canada here and have good success. That's something I would like doing down the road, to run some of the Canadian shows at Delaware and Jukasa. But for now, we just got a Oswego package, and we're just going to try to focus on that until I get some more experience.
Absolutely. Now, do you have, I noticed there's a 96 on the car. Is that going to be your number? Have you registered yet to get your number, or what will you be?
That was Tyler Thompson's number, so he was 98. So we're probably going to try to run 72 if we can get it. That's been my number my whole life, other than when we ran 5 in All-Star. So It'll be one of those two numbers, I'm sure.
Now, I just seen a picture the other day. Another guy down in your neck of the woods picked up a super modified as well. Mike Westwood picked up a super modified. It's sitting on a trailer. Have you guys had any conversations? Are you guys going to work together a little bit, or is that news to you too?
I actually just seen it before we came on the show tonight. I just seen he brought it home today.
So, yeah.
Definitely be in touch with him and try to go check it out, and hopefully he'll come over here and have a look as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty cool to see two guys, kind of gearheads that are together. The last guy that I remember going super modified racing was Mark Sammet.
That's
a lot of years ago, right? And not to say that there aren't a whole pile of super modifieds out there, because there are. It's a hugely successful class and arguably the top of the heap when you talk short track racing. But to have two guys dip their toes in the water, it shows the interest.
There is nothing faster on the planet than a super modified. Nothing.
It's awesome.
This is absolutely it. How about the car, the configuration of the car? When we look at the APC series or we look at any of the pro late model type tours across Canada here, you hear lots about a Fury car or a Hampke or a McCall car. When it comes time for super modified racing, Junior, what kind of chassis is it? Is it a brand name chassis that you've got? And has that car raced? I know you said it was a backup car. Did it actually race?
Yep, for sure. There's two main builders that I'm aware of right now. Joey Hoxby, he has great success down there, and John Coloca, who built my car. They've had good success with Ray Graham and Cody Graham. So this car was built in 2016, and I know Cody ran it. It's ran about 20 times. It had some good success, and even Bobby Santos has raced it at the Classic and stuff. So it is a good car, good competitive car. It is a straight axle front end. A lot of them are going to independent now, but with the rear wings they've put on it, it's kind of equalized the cars as far as overall grip. Last year, Abolds and a couple of other guys that were down there ran straight axles and had good success. So I don't expect to be setting a track record, but hopefully we can, be 5th to 10th to be competitive and get our feet wet.
Oh, yeah, you get right up in there. It's going to be dynamite. How about the actual engine of the car? Pro late models, all that kind of stuff, even super late models. We're talking crate engines.
They're all nuclear now. I think a super modified is nuclear,
what
right?
What is it?
It's a nuclear reactor, yeah. About 18,000 horsepower, something like that.
Yeah, they're definitely a big change for sure. They're all big block cast iron V8s. They can't, down in Oswego, they can't exceed 470 cubic inches. They got Brodox aluminum heads, aluminum pistons, all fuel injected, magneto, runs on methanol. So it's definitely a big step up from, the 400, 450. Whatever a crate would put out for a prolate, so it's gonna be something I'm gonna have to work up to, but really looking forward to.
Yeah, the picture on your profile. There's a picture of you sitting in the car. It's all black. You can see the smile on your face, and it's a big goofy smile too. Like it is happy. Like you can tell. But I can only imagine the smile that's behind that helmet when you actually step on the throttle for the first time. It'll be an incredible smile, I can guarantee, or a look of fear, one or the other, right? It's incredible. But have you talked to many guys? Obviously, you mentioned it's a lifelong dream to get into it, and you've spent some time down there. You've watched a lot of races. But do you know many guys that you're going to be racing against that are down there?
I know more guys that run ISMA, so friends with Mark Sammet, Mark and Tony, and then the Lichties. I've known them as well and reached out to them about the car, and they said to come over for support anytime. So
cool.
Pretty much anybody that's involved and it's willing to help out and want to see us succeed. So that's good, and I'll be tapping into them for their knowledge going forward for sure.
Well, there is one guy that I'm going to suggest you reach out to, and I don't know how you do it, but Ryan Conium. You and Ryan actually share a little bit of history. I remember, Junior, and you'll remember, you came up to the beach and you got into your late model, and I believe that was your first laps in a late model, wasn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
That's right. And you went off turn two like a bullet. And I went, whoa, Chuck, where's he going? And what happened was Junior had no brakes. No brakes, and he went off on the high side of turn two. Saved it.
You didn't hit nothing?
Didn't hit a thing.
Did you end up in the sod farm?
The brakes were fine, guys. The clutch doesn't slow the car down.
That's what it was, the clutch. Yeah, yeah.
He was trying to be nice to you. He didn't expect you to out yourself there.
Ah, there you go. but I will tell you, Ryan Konia was another young driver back in the day that showed up at the beach, him and his dad. And Warren said, look, I got to get my son some laps. I want him to run. He was in an All-Pro Modified. And he said, I want him to run All-Pro Modified. And I said, well, what's the issue? And he goes, oh, Joe, he's a young driver. I said, oh, a young driver? I'm thinking 18, 19, what? Oh, no, young Ryan was 14 years, 13 or 14. I said, no way. This can't happen. Because back then, you didn't see kids in big cars. And I'll tell you what, Ryan Konium came out, and he had bought Pete Walker's number 34 car. He went out and did lap after lap, and I'll tell you what, he was right on the money. I said to Warren, absolutely, he can run that Sauble, no problem at all. He jumped into an All-Pro Modified, and he also went out there and did amazing things today. Well, last time I spoke with him, it was at Sunset Speedway with the Super Modified, and he would run his Super Modified when he had time, and away he would go. But you do share a little bit of history. You both started there, and you know what? I wouldn't doubt if you dialed up Ryan Konium, he'd probably love to talk to you.
No, for sure. Me and Ryan were good friends go-kart racing growing up, and then I seen him last year when we went down to Classic. He ran a sprint car on Friday night, and then he was running the ISMA car on Saturday at Oswego. So we had a good conversation and got to catch up, and I kind of put a bug in his ear that night. I was thinking about getting one, and it would be pretty cool if we get to get back on the track, you know, 25 years later or whatever it is. So looking forward to that.
Isn't that amazing? Sponsorship on the car. Have you got it all decaled up, or are you looking for sponsorship still? Because I know it's going to mean it'll mean a ton to you, Junior.
Yes, it's kind of a reset on that one, to be honest. A lot of the supporters I had with COVID and stuff, it kind of shut this year down. And then being it so far out of their market, it's going to be tough to lock some guys in. So that's something we're actively pursuing, and would take any support we can on that. So that's something that I got to work on over the winter.
Well, you're going to do that too. Hey, big picture now. You're going into, you're jumping into the deep end this time, my friend.
Yeah, no, there's no turning back, whether you want to call it a midlife crisis or a lifelong dream. I'm not sure which one it is, but you had to commit to it. So I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, we'll do our best we can. And it's not, I think it's going to be a 4 or 5 year deal. Might even have to upgrade the car and stuff, and once I get some experience under us, but it's something we're committed to.
Junior Farley, this is going to be awesome. I know we look forward to following you all the way through. We'd love to get you back on the show. Give us some updates, keep us well informed, and we'd love to get you back on the show and get race fans up to speed before that first green flag goes in the air, my friend.
No, anytime, guys. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
You betcha. That's Junior Farley. Super Modified. He's going to go to her junior. What, lifelong dream. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, the Super Mods, you know, we can't overstate it. It's Super Mods are some of the most badass machines on the planet. And, you know, if you're a racer, if you're into racing and the Super Mods are on, you're not paying attention to anything else other than what's on the racetrack. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, the cars are so fast now. And when you look at the ISMA series, it takes a big track to actually have a show. You know, yep. I look back at Sunset Speedway and you know, it's not a track, or it's not a car for a track that's under 3/8 of a mile. Yeah. You know, you need to have them where you can stretch the legs, and when you can stretch the legs, they're endless. You can go as fast as you possibly can, and you know, you look at it's interesting that a supermod basically holds the track record on a half mile at Bristol Motor Speedway, right? It's they did the yep. partnership deal. I know that a sprint car ended up taking the fast time, you know, at that event down there, but I believe that it got knocked off last year for the world record speed. And when you look at the cars themselves, they don't need to put on a good race in order to put on a show. You know, it's when you watch,
amazing to watch.
I think back to watching them at New Smyrna. I think back to watching numerous shows at Delaware Speedway. You know, I've everybody that is a motorsports person has got a soft spot in their heart for them. You know, having a great conversation with Jason White, they are huge on the West Coast.
Sure they are.
Massive yep. on the yep. West Coast, and they have a vintage division, and then they also have the actual, you know, super modified division that's out there, but here on the East Coast, this is the Mecca, right? It's Oswego is the Mecca for
super modified racing. Yeah.
And you know, it'll be cool to see and to have a Canadian in the fight, and a local Canadian, you know, from our neck of the woods here, and all the best to Junior and your team, and I can't wait to see what he can do with it.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. I think back to when I had the All-Star Series and we were at Cayuga Speedway, and we had a couple of times coupled in with the Super Modifieds, and Brad Lichty was there, and like McKnight's, all yep, the big yep, names, yep. all of the big names were there. And we had a guy there with a radar gun that was catching some of the All-Star guys. And he said, hey, the All-Star guys are doing pretty good. They're hitting $125.
Yep.
So it was pretty good. I said, what? Get a reading on one of those Super Modifieds, will you? I want to find out what it is. And he come back and he showed me 172.
Yeah.
172 miles
an
hour.
And now
and that was the old
pavement. That was the old bumpy.
With the jump off of turn four.
That was the old bumpy Cayuga.
Oh,
before.
Man. Can you imagine a super modified on it today?
Yeah, I believe the times, because they were just there, not this year, but last year. And I believe the time was in the low 15s.
Yeah.
The low 15-second lap times around a 5/8 mile.
Sorry.
Just a crazy racetrack.
That's scary.
Oh, 100%. That's, you know, 180 mile an hour.
Yeah, you're digging. It's nuts. Going to hit a break when we come back. How about Rafael Lazard, driver for KBM, the number 4 truck? He finished 4th. Everything's 4 for him today. And he's coming up after the break. We're going to talk to him live. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Bob Finnegan, starter for the Oscar Super Series. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. Quick fire starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. Quick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian. And so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com. Enter promo code RTR and save up to 20%. And they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
Rev TV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. Rev TV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Fox News Headlines 24-7 is on SiriusXM with headlines every 15 minutes.
I'm Kevin Brincone.
I'm Therese Crowley.
I'm Jim McKay.
A channel that delivers your world news, business, what's trending in digital, entertainment, and sports.
Your news in a way you've never heard before with headlines every 15 minutes.
Fox News Headlines 24-7. All the information you need, ready when you are.
We're live from America's News Headquarters.
SiriusXM Channel 115 or listen on the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in right here on SiriusXM Channel 167 Canada Talks. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Joe Chisholm Jr. right here in the Racetime Radio studio. And we're going back to the hotline. We're going to welcome in, how about a Gander Truck Series race winner just a couple of weeks ago at Talladega? He got his first win. He drives for KBM, the number four truck. He rolled off 21st for today's race at Texas, and he brought her home fourth. Top four finish position for Rafael Lazard in that number four. He is with us now on the hotline. What's going on there, Rafael? How you doing, buddy?
I'm really good. What about you?
Fantastic, my friend. Good race for you today. I didn't know if you were going to make it up there, bud, but lo and behold, you get down to the closing laps of the race, and here comes the four marching his way to the front.
Yeah, it was a pretty eventful race. We started pretty far, 20th, and beginning dirty air and traffic was really big, and it was really hard to pass, and I was pretty loose at first, so I was just trying to hold on to it, and then we made an adjustment, and then my gas pedal went bad. It was almost sticking to the floor, and so that's not a good feeling in a big racetrack like that. So we had to pit, try to fix it. Then I got back to on the racetrack, got a right rear flat, then had to start dead last. We made it back slowly but surely, and then we were there at the end. We had an awesome restart at the end and finished fourth. I'm happy with the result because it was a pretty eventful day, and we just never gave up and kept on working hard.
Yeah, you did. And you know what? Kyle's going to be happy with you because I believe you're the only one out of the KBM stable that's bringing a truck home in one piece.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think that's good, but, you know, I don't think they had much luck on their side. But it was me last weekend that didn't bring the truck home in one piece. So I'm glad I did this weekend and finished fourth. But, yeah, I can't thank Kyle Busch Motorsport enough and Can-Am for all their support. It's been a good year, so now we got two more, and I'm excited for the Martinsville and Phoenix, that's for sure.
It wasn't from a lack of trying either. They kept throwing trucks at you sideways, backwards, in the fence. It seemed like every time there was a replay of a wreck, you could see the four truck in the frame at some point, and that means that you had to drive either past some debris, past some oil, or past the truck. It seemed like, obviously it was eventful, for the stuff that you could control, within the race, but then it was also eventful for the stuff that you couldn't control. There was a lot of carnage that we've seen at Texas, and there was a lot of tempers at the end of that deal. Are you happy with everybody leaving the racetrack? Because it seems like there wasn't many people happy with everybody.
Yeah, on my side, everything was good. You know, I made my way up to the field and didn't touch nobody. It was clean. The truck was in one piece, not a mark on it. So
I'm pretty
happy about that. But for sure, saw some pretty good show on the racetrack, being a little bit, like, I could see every wreck almost.
So, yeah.
There was some that were really hard hit, that's for sure. I hope everyone is all right, especially my teammate Christian Eckes. He got a that was a bad deal, I would say, but oh well.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
part of racing, and I'm sure we're going to have to watch out at Martinsville because there might be some payback there.
Yeah. I think there will be.
That
at Martinsville.
That is the payback track.
Yeah, 100%.
If you're going to pay a guy back, that's the track that is going to be the debt will be handed over.
Yeah, exactly. Raphael, I always get a kick out of talking to you guys about that very thing. And when you look at, when you're behind the wheel, you're driving, and you see incidents like that, you know, at a short track, if you see a guy get spun out and there's an accident, and stuff happens and a bunch of fenders get wrinkled up and there's some heated arguments after, it's one thing. But if you see a guy go into the fence, you know, at 180 or 175 and there's debris flying everywhere and it's absolutely crazy, what's it like inside the truck when you see that stuff happening? Because it's not like you have a whole lot of experience seeing that type of, you know, action out your windshield.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's pretty crazy when you first see it. And if you look until the car or the truck hit the wall, and you can really see it's going fast and it's going straight up there. And it looks like it hurts. But, you know, you're so on your game that you don't think about it at all.
Exactly.
And you just try to avoid it and pass the guy in front of you. That's your goal. And I would say you can't think about that stuff. If it happens, it happens. But when you're in the heat of the moment, I feel like it's the last thing you think about. You just want to be faster than the guys in front of you and try to make your truck better at every stop and just try to be as fast as possible.
Well, there was only three trucks faster than you today, and I don't know if they were actually faster or just well-positioned out there, because if you would have had a little bit more time, it looked like you were making your way right up to that second win. It looked like it was coming along pretty good. Raphael, I got to ask you, I want to say, I'm getting old, right? So my memory slips here a bit. But I want to say I can remember seeing you discussing a race with Ross Chastain. Was that a Martinsville race or was that a different track?
That was Bristol last year.
Ah, Bristol. That's what it was. I knew it was a short track.
Yep.
So have you raced Martinsville before yourself or is this going to be your first trip?
I raced the first race last year of the truck series there. It was my first time in a truck, and it went pretty good. It's a pretty tough racetrack. I mean, it looks kind of easy when you look at it, but it's actually so hard to pass, and it's so tight. Everyone is like bumper to bumper, and it's just really hard to pass, and there's for sure some people hitting it. Some other people, so you just gotta be careful. And I feel like I'm ready, and I'm just gonna go out there like today, no pressure, and just gonna try to do our best and try to be aggressive strategy wise to gain track position. And I feel like that's what hurt us today with our flat tire and the gas pedal. We couldn't get any track position strategy wise that could help us, because I feel like if we could have get to the front in clean air, I thought we could have stayed there because the truck handles so much better in clean air. But, oh well, I learned a lot in the traffic. I feel like I gained some confidence during the race, and I gained some I just was faster and faster every lap. So that I'm pretty happy about that, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Now, to kick off the show, we had Josh Williams, who's, of course, going to race an Xfinity car at Martinsville, and we had a long conversation about hot dogs. And then we had Donald T. John, and we talked more about hot dogs. So now you're going to Martinsville, too. We got to talk about hot dogs some more. But since you're the second Frenchman on the program, we got to ask you, how do you say hot dog in French?
Hot dog.
Oh, it's just a hot dog.
It's just a hot dog.
Oh, all right.
Oh yeah, same thing.
So there's no cool French word for it.
No,
all right.
It's just that you
so
can't.
How many are you gonna eat?
Probably none.
Come on. You need to.
I don't eat any.
I know,
like,
but
last year I went there and I didn't eat any. like before the race, I don't want to eat one because I feel like I'm working out every day to be in good shape and prepare. And I try to eat as healthy as possible. So after the race, maybe, but we'll see.
It's protein. It's protein. You got to have a Martinsville hot dog.
Very good protein.
if you win the race, I want you to try a Martinsville hot dog, and then you have to call us and tell us how you liked it.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, deal.
There we go.
Deal.
Maybe shoot a video. That's
what we'll do. Absolutely.
Shoot a video, have a Martinsville hot dog.
Yeah, you can't chicken out like that.
Standing beside your Martinsville clock, that would look kind of cool and at your place too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would look awesome. That's for sure. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
When we win next week, we'll do that.
All right.
That's the way to go.
And when you look at it, the KBM guys have had so much success at Martinsville, right? Like,
sure.
When you look at the guys that come through the program, you know, you look at Todd Gilliland picked up the win last year. You know, you look at Noah Gregson. He did some wonderful things there when he was with KBM. You look at, of course, the 51 truck. You look at Bubba Wallace. You know, all the success that you guys have had, that your team has had at Martinsville, it's got to be exciting to get through.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a pretty crazy racetrack, but I'm excited. I know I'm gonna have like last year, the first race, it was my first time in the truck, so it was kind of weird. I needed to figure something out, and then the second race, all the KBM trucks ran really well, and Todd actually won the race. And I think it was a new package they were trying, and it actually worked really well. So hopefully it can work really good this year, because I'm pretty excited to try it out.
Yeah, you have that set up in your truck and then go after it. That's going to be kind of cool. Now, I know you still got the two races left, but have you guys started to talk 2021? Or do you got to finish the season off before you start talking about a new one?
We're talking about it. You know, we want to be the goal is to know what we're doing next year as soon as possible, and to know what kind of sponsor we got. I know Canac is probably going to come back on board with us, which is great, and hopefully we can get some more. But yeah, I got a group of investors behind me, and we just got to meet everyone and see what they want to do next year and what we can do. But I got a good team behind me that's working really hard to make it happen in 2021. So we'll see. We're working hard, and hopefully we can get some two other good finishes like that. And that's going to help me a lot.
You have a tremendous amount of Canadians pulling for you, my friend, and there's a ton of people up here. It seems like every time there's a truck race, you know, I scroll through Twitter, and there's so many local guys from here in Canada that are pulling for both you, for Stuart Friesen, for Alex Labbe, for the whole group. The stuff that you guys do for the Canadians and representing that Maple Leaf, there's a tremendous amount of excitement every time that you guys hit the racetrack, and you keep pulling numbers like that, and it's awesome. But I do got to bust your chops here a little bit. Jessica Maynard, she corrected you. It's Shang Shoud. Shang Shoud.
Oh, yeah.
So you're saying that it's hot dog. Shang Shoud.
Shang Shoud.
Yeah.
See that?
I've never used that word, but
now
some people use it, but I always say hot dog.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well, there you go.
I mean, if you walked up to the Martinsville concession stand and you said, "Can I have a Shang Shoud?" they're going to look at you like you got three heads.
That's right.
Yeah. So I guess you just say hot dog, and then we're good to go.
If you want a hot dog at Martinsville, you're damn well going to have to say, "I need a hot dog."
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's too funny, right?
Thank you, by the way, Jessica.
Oh,
she's in my corner. She's in my corner.
How do you say cup phone? How do you say cup phone? I don't know how to say cup phone. Pretty soon we'll have all of our French lessons.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, tonight has been like a French. It's been like a French lesson.
Sure, sure. 50% of the show.
There was only one word that I knew before, and I'm not allowed to say it on
the
air.
No, you are not.
Andrew Ranger said it a lot.
I know what it is.
No, you guys can't do that.
It started with a T.
You just stay right where you are.
Right.
Incredible. Raphael's going to be exciting watching you the rest of the way. We've totally enjoyed the season. And We always thank you for your time and for jumping on Racetime Radio and sharing some time here with Canadians. And it's been exciting. You've added another level to the excitement of that truck series. And today when I was looking through, I said to Junior, hey, has the truck series schedule been announced yet for 2021? And we looked it up, and sure enough, we see CTMP on the schedule for 2021 and September the 3rd. Wouldn't that be cool that hopefully this pandemic's gone and we're going to be able to see you back on Canadian soil racing in that truck series and going for the win? Would be off the hook, and I know I look forward to that time right there, buddy.
Yeah, that would be awesome. It's for sure, every time we get to come race in Canada in front of everyone that's supporting me down there, that's awesome. And we didn't get to do it this year, but hopefully we can do it next year, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially as a winner. You and Steve Friesen, the two of you guys, just off the hook watching, and it's going to be exciting. Good luck at Martinsville, my friend. Go out there, go after it, go get it, and I'm going to be I'll be looking for that video, and we'll save your spot right here on Race Time, and we'll talk to the winner next week. How's that?
That sounds good. Thank you very much.
You betcha. That's Raphael Lazard. Watch for him. He's driving for KBM in the number 4 truck. The guy has got potential, Junior. He can win every time he gets in.
Toyota has to be so thrilled with his program and with what he's been able to do. Obviously, it's his first full season. So
right.
he's ran into things on the racetrack. He's hit things. There's been a couple wrecked trucks.
Sure.
But when he's not wrecking and he's performing at an ultra high level every single time. And that's what Toyota looks for. That's, Toyota and Kyle Busch Motorsports, they want you to go and get it every single lap. And, you got to look at what he's done as going and getting it. And, a fourth place today, he started deep in the field. It's a draw. He hasn't spent a whole lot of time at Texas Motor Speedway.
Right.
When you look at Martinsville, he's been there before. That's a little bit of an ace in the hole for him, and as well, Phoenix is a good, solid track for a guy like Raphael as well. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next year with him. He's earning his shot and he's earning his spot in the sport. And, I don't think that anybody can take it away from him.
No, absolutely
it's incredible.
Not. We are going to hit our final break of the night. When we come back, we'll hear from the Xfinity winner from Texas. We'll also hear from the truck winner at Texas. We've got a couple of clips we're going to roll out when we come back. Stay with us.
Hi, my name is Mark Salmon. I drive the number 78 Super Modifieds, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
From two wheels to four, and so much more. Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work, no paper or kindling, and presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20% and they ship to your door. Quick Wick, they work.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio is back.
And once again, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime. Right here, Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks. It was a great truck race. If you happen to have missed it today, I'm telling you right now, you missed a dandy. Junior, that truck race today had a little bit of everything in it, and well, maybe even a lot of everything in it today. Maybe not just a little, but a lot. But what I found really interesting was the ultimate winner of the race, Sheldon Creed, on a couple of those restarts, he took the bottom, and I didn't think the bottom was going to be the spot to be on the restart. Kind of thought the high side was going to be the spot, but he proved me wrong each time that he took the bottom.
Yeah, we've seen it a couple of years. Texas has been a really tough track to start on the bottom. You know, I think back to a couple of really famous restarts with Jeff Gordon and those guys. You know, back in the day, if you restarted on the bottom at Texas, you were going to go backwards. And, you know, since they did the remodel at Texas and since they started laying the PJ1 down, just the way that the track takes rubber, it seems like the bottom is now the preferred groove. Mm. And we see a very similar, you know, platform over at Atlanta Speedway or Atlanta Motor Speedway for when they do come to the green flag. You know, it's kind of a crapshoot because if you don't get into one perfectly when you're on the top, you do give everything up. So, you know, you're kind of banking on that you have the fire off ability to get off the line when you do get to the restart zone.
Yeah.
But when you look at the talent level that Sheldon Creed has, he has the ability. There's two types of drivers, right? You've got the finesse type of driver that is just smooth all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And just ridiculously smooth every lap, hits the marks every lap and doesn't mess up. Sheldon Creed is not that guy. Sheldon Creed wrestles the truck and he attacks every single lap.
Yep.
And, you know, he has the ability to be smooth and not make mistakes, but he constantly is wrestling the truck and attacking. And when you look at his driving style, he's the type of guy that has the ability to get off of the bottom on a restart just simply because of that. He's got the ability, the car control. If he does start to spin the wheels, you know, he's got the ability to roll out of it but not lose the ground that he gained.
Not too much ground.
Exactly. Yeah. But you look at a guy that's got a lot of finesse and is very smooth. If they start to wheel spin, those are the guys that tend to go backwards on those restarts. And, you know, obviously if you nuke the tires, you're going backwards.
Yep.
But if you have the ability to control it and control that wheel spin and move forward, the bottom is kind of the preferred groove. So,
shortest way around the track.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
It's around the bottom.
And when you look at the way that the PJ1 was, I think that, you know, those restarts towards the end, like Josh was saying, there's a tremendous amount of heat that builds up in that. And, you know, it kind of transfers from the center of the corner because you got to think it rolls up on the tire. And then as you get to the straightaway, when you start losing you know, the side load of the tire, you actually carry the PJ1 from the center of the corner right. towards the exit of the corner.
Right.
And so towards the end of the race, as you start to build that PJ1 down there, it becomes a lot easier for those guys to get, you know, fired off on those restarts. So Sheldon Creed, though, you know, I had three conversations this weekend about young drivers. His name came up every single time as a huge bright spot in the sport. Him and Sam Mayer are two guys that you know, and
Sammy's
really
doing good.
They are both in the same realm and coming through the same channel with Chevrolet and that Junior Motorsports GMS combination. And you know, Sheldon Creed is going to be a force to be reckoned with in
yeah.
the sport.
Sheldon, he got some help. He said he needed some help to win this one. And Brett Moffitt was right there to give him a hand on that last restart. Yep. But here's what Sheldon Creed had to say after the race. Here he is.
Yeah, just started off pretty simple there. Had a really fast truck and just tried to learn what the track was doing. It was on the bottom there, that first stage. And then there at the end, I think a couple people started making time in the spray. And tried to keep an eye on that, but more on what my truck was doing, and then tightened up a little bit. Stage two was a little harder. I think everyone was figuring out the runs that they needed, and the 16 did a really good job. The 88, those were two that I felt timed their runs the best and could stay really close. So I knew they were good. I felt like my truck was really, really fast. I had really good corner speed. I was just a sitting duck down the straightaway, and if you get two good trucks lined up behind you, you're kind of in trouble there. The 88 finally timed it really well and got by me, and then I just sat behind him there in that end of stage two. But stage three was hectic. Just trying to keep people behind me the whole time, trying to split them and make them not sure where to go. It's so hard when you have to do that when the runs are so big, and then they're at the end with the 52 and 13 wrecking each other and getting the lead back. And then I don't know what happened there that last 10 laps. I got really tight, like light switch. I went from being really good to really tight and like the left front quartered a little bit. And I feel like I was in trouble there. I didn't really know. And then that last restart, thank God I had a teammate with me and was able to get clear there. And then I figured I could cover the 16 at least for a couple of laps and was able to get the win. So it's so nice being stress-free for the next week or two.
And he will be. Those guys at GMS, they've got it going on. That you know, the trucks look really good. The 23, the
21.
The 2, or yeah, 21, looking really, really good. And but so did ThorSport. ThorSport had moments today. Matt Crafton, right up there, running really good, had good stops, or at least one good stop that I seen. You know, I think Grant Enfinger would have figured in there as well, had the motor not let go.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up, and you never see a motor let go on those guys. So watch for, you know, Finger and those guys to be really strong at Martinsville. I'm really excited for this Martinsville race coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. The championship battle, you know, obviously with it being the final chance to get into that Final Four, Martinsville is going to be, you know, off the chip exciting. And, you know, I think that, you know, there's a little bit of a clear advantage for the GMS guys because they are so carefree. They've got the ability to hold some guys out of this championship run, Grant Enfinger.
That part of it too.
Exactly. Like Grant Enfinger, you know, the guys that are on the back half of that Final Four, you know, they have to go win.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that GMS with two bullets in the chamber heading in there, they're going to be, you know, over the moon aggressive. Obviously not to the point where they want to jeopardize their championship run when they get to Phoenix. But, you know, I think back to some of those cutoff races last year, and in years past in the Cup Series. You know, they've got a good shot at holding some guys out.
Yeah, they do. Is Saturday night, it was all right for fighting, but Saturday night was real good for Xfinity, especially if you drove the number 20 Dex car. It was Harrison Burton going to victory lane. Here's what Harrison had to say, and he had an eventful race, right? He ended up spinning out and had to come back through. Here's what Harrison had to say at the end.
Yeah, we had a crazy race for sure. We started out really fast, kind of made a pit call to short pit everyone and try and go get in front of everyone for stage two. We won our first stage today as well. We've won three races, but that was the first stage we won. So that was a good sign of our speed. And then the driver decided to try and get more than the car could handle, and I spun out. Kind of threw us through a loop, but my team kind of kept me, rallied and motivated and confident. To come back from a spin is kind of tough because your confidence goes down. You feel like you don't really know where the limit is anymore because you thought you were okay and then spun out. So my team kind of kept me good through that. And we just had an amazing race car, and that makes everything easy, right?
What a talented young driver he is. I love watching him when he's in a car. I'm definitely a Harrison Burton fan.
Yeah.
Love watching him.
The end of that race, he ran down Noah Gregson. Even the announcers had given up on him, getting to the win, Once he got by the third place car and got up to second, nobody thought that he had enough time to get up there. And sure enough, he put the hammer down, drove the wheels off of it, and Noah got super tight. And obviously everybody heard his interview after. Very dejected Noah Gregson was. But that moves Noah into one of those must-win situations at Martinsville. So, I was very critical of the NASCAR Xfinity race through the middle portion of that race, on Twitter publicly.
And then it came to life.
And the end of it, was very exciting. There was a tremendous amount of good driving. There was risks taken. It's just a shame that we have to go through the beginning to middle portions of these races being as, lackluster as they are to get to such a great finish, I know that
there's no way to control it,
but
you don't know whether you're going to get a caution filled, race or whether you're going to have long green flag runs. And if you get a long green flag run, that's what you're going to get. They get spaced out.
Yep.
They ride.
Yep.
And you can't blame them.
No, you can't. I've said this before. Everybody in this sport is becoming too smart for the sport.
Yeah.
Right? Back in the day, it was go, balls to the walls the entire race. And you race as hard as you can for the entire race. You cold trickle the heck out of it. And you drive, past the limits of everything trying to win a race. And in today's era, nobody does that until the end.
Well,
when you look at it,
you're going to see a good race at Martinsville.
100% you are. And there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to get spaced
go.
Out. And you got to go the whole time. You got to block the whole time. You need to protect your track position. If you get moved out of the groove, you can lose 20 spots at Martinsville.
Right, And you're going to see guys moving stuff. Hey, I do want to make a mention. The Canadian Hall of Fame has got inductees announced. Now, I don't believe they're going to be inducted until, February.
Yep.
COVID has got things messed up. And I don't have the list in front of me. I do know that that list includes LP Dumoulin, driver of the 47 WeatherTech Dodge. Yeah. So congratulations to LP, and we're going to get him on the show. We're going to try and get as many of them on the program through some of the skinnier weeks in between now and the off season. But we want to congratulate him. Ron St. Clair, another one. He was with CASCAR back in the day. Used to do a dynamite job on the broadcast. Steve Robley, his name is in there. Alex Nagy was another one. The rest elude me now.
It's a long list. But quite a few names in there.
But just congratulations.
Definitely go check it out and pull up the list, and congratulations to each and every one of them.
Well, we're going to get them on the air over the course of time, and we'll talk about some of their experiences that they've had, and definitely have a rich a set of experiences to be put into the Hall of Fame. It's quite an honor. It would be even a bigger honor if there was a Hall of Fame, as opposed to it being a virtual sort of thing. I can't believe somewhere, somehow, there has to be somebody that's loaded in this sport that goes, you know what, we need a Hall of Fame, and puts a building. But you know what, I could ramble about that for hours, but I can't. We got to throw it back to Toronto and give this channel back to SiriusXM, and we'll retake it over next Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. For Joe Chisholm Jr., I am Joe Chisholm. Oh, I hate to say it, senior. And God thanks Susie Q right here in our studio for hooking us up with all of our guests tonight. And I believe it's Scotty back in Toronto. We've got to thank you back there in Toronto. And we are going to hand it back to you right now. Here comes your news update and then more great programming right here on SiriusXM 167 Canada Talks.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.